I love Mother's Day, don't you? Amen. It's one of my favorite holidays. I wish that my own mother lived here in Sacramento and not way down in Loma Linda. I know that every parent here today, especially mothers, wants only the very best for your children. Isn't that right, moms? Only the very best for your kids. What does that mean? That means you want them to have a Christian education, if at all possible. It means that you want them to have a happy marriage, satisfactory, you know, companion. You want them to have a beautiful family. You'd like for them to own their own house, right? Drive a nice car. Probably the thing that you would wish almost, number one, for them would be the fact that they are happy in their chosen career. I know every time I call my mother, who is now almost 91, she'll be 91 in September, she always asks me, she says, Bobby, still calls me Bobby, are you happy in your work? Are you happy in your work? Almost every time for 50 years now, 45 years. And I say, yes, Mom, I'm happy in my work. I love being a pastor. Well, how do you like it at Orangevale? I love being at Orangevale. Orangevale is just the greatest place. It's so nice to have multiple pastors here and to have so many talented people. And you saw some of them up front here today. What a joy to be able to pastor a congregation like this. Yes, Mom, I'm happy. There is a mother who came to Jesus. Beautiful story. Turn to Matthew 20, would you? 20th chapter. There's a mother who came to Jesus, and she had those same desires. She wanted her children to be happy. She wanted only the very best for her kids. And so we read the story there in Matthew, the 20th chapter. I'm sure it's a familiar one to most of you. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom. That was quite a request, wasn't it? I mean, if you were Salome and you were one of the followers of Jesus that would go around and help Jesus and his disciples, ministering to their needs and so on, if you had two sons, James and John, would you have the audacity, the ambition, to ask such a thing of your Lord? There she is, kneeling down right in front of Jesus. Supposedly, other people around. Doesn't say that it was taking place in private there. And she's asking, Lord, I want my sons to sit next to you in your kingdom. And I would like to suggest, even though we might think that that was a little bit selfish on her part, we might suggest even that she was being opportunistic, that there was nothing wrong, in fact, everything right, about coming to the Lord Jesus and wanting the best for her children. She was willing to do almost anything to provide it. The problem that I see in this story is not so much with her ambition as it was trying to define what is best for our children. That's always the hardest thing, I think, as parents. Because after all, kids want a lot, don't they? Kids expect the very best from their parents today. Well, what does that mean? Well, that typically would include such things as their own personal computer, an iPad, an Xbox probably, right, kids? Or a PlayStation or something like that. Definitely your own cell phone. And then, of course, the accessories that go with all of those things. So that's what they expect. That's the best. I remember reading a story this week about a girl, only 16 years of age, who was having a hard time trying to find work. Her mother needed her to do something to help support around the family, single parent. The only job that this 16-year-old girl could find was at a nightclub dancing. There was a man, a patron, who came into the nightclub one day, not soon after she had started, and he looked at that girl and he thought, she is way too young to be in here. And so he went up to her and he said, girl, where is your mother? You're too young to be in here. And her mother immediately stepped out from behind the curtain there in the club, and she said, I'm her mother. Have you got a problem? Now, there was a mother who was struggling to figure out what was best for her child, wouldn't you say? I was thinking about another mother. This mother, well, it was actually her daughter who had joined a baptismal class at school and wanted to be baptized just like Mario. Really looking forward to that. When she informed her mother afterwards that she was part of this class, that she wanted to be baptized, her mother thought about that. She said, you know what? I don't think you're ready. I don't think that I can give my blessing to your being baptized. So no, you can't be baptized. Well, it was several years later. The girl had grown up and she left the church. And she was doing some things out there in the world that her mother didn't approve of. And so her mother called a pastor. And she said, Pastor, could you go and talk to my girl? So he set up an appointment. They sat down together, and the first thing he said was, your mother asked me if I would come and talk to you about giving your heart to Jesus. This girl replied to the mother, or to the pastor, when I was 11 years old, I wanted to give my life to Jesus and be baptized. And my mother said no. Now that I'm older, and she wants me to give my life to Jesus, now I'm saying no. That mother wanted what was best for her child. How do we know what is best as parents? I remember when my boys were teenagers, they had a certain kind of tennis shoe that they had to have. It was called, as I recall, a Nike Air Jordan, and they cost $100 a pair. Some of your parents may remember those. They also had to have certain kind of jeans, and so I called my son this week. I said, what were those jeans? He said, they were Quicksilvers. Wow, those things were pricey. And so when we would tell our kids, I don't think we have the money to be able to provide those things, but they would say, yeah, but everybody at school has them. You don't want us to be looked down on, do you? No. And so, you see, we have these expectations, don't we? We have expectations for our kids, and our kids have expectations for us. And some parents work night and day to provide for those expectations, those quotes, necessities. And as I was thinking back in my mind about all the accessories I provided for my kids, because I wanted them to be in everything, right? You know, so we had to have the soccer outfits and all of the balls and bats and gloves, and we had to have the golf clubs and all of these things. We worked night and day, it seemed like, my wife and I, to try to meet the needs of our kids. And I'm not going to weigh in on the wisdom of those purchases this morning, but I do want to ask you a question. Do we as parents work equally hard to ensure our children's citizenship in the kingdom of God as we do to provide for them all of those other needs? as we work so hard to get scholarships for them, honor roll, find a job, even a life companion. Think about it. These things may be important at the time. You young people all believe that. At the time, they are very important. But in light of eternity, how valuable are Nike Air Jordans, really? In light of eternity, the only thing that really matters is knowing Jesus. And since it's impossible to pass on something that we don't have first ourselves, I would like to suggest that each of us as parents must make our first work to know Jesus so we can introduce Him to our children. Did you turn on that air conditioning? I can see folks starting to pass out here. Could we open this door right here? Thanks very much. And all the way outside, why don't we do that too? Thanks, Connor. We are living in a time of unparalleled temptation, especially for young people today. I read an incredible story of something that happened recently. A daughter was in a separate room from her mother, young daughter, just maybe Alexis age here. And all of a sudden, the daughter started screaming, and the mother heard this, and she came rushing into the room, only to be absolutely startled into motionless by the fact that there was this huge tiger that was standing right over her young daughter and licking her daughter's face. And the daughter was just screaming and screaming. And the mother thought, well, you know, licking, eating. So there was a special place just around the corner where they kept the rifles in the house. Father was gone. She reached around the corner. She grabbed a loaded shotgun. She took aim and fired at that tiger, hitting it broadside. The tiger, great leap, went right out the window where it had come in and collapsed down below. They only discovered later that it had escaped from the zoo there in the city where they lived. And I was thinking about that experience, and it reminded me of the fact that we are faced with things today that are licking at the faces and affections of our children, and these things are far more frightening than any wild animal, even a tiger, when it comes to the future of our children. I'm thinking of things now like pornography, inappropriate internet chat rooms, teen pregnancies, drugs, you name it. And in light of these dangers, children and young people desperately need ambitious mothers and fathers who are willing to introduce them to Jesus. For that reason, I see Salome's desire to talk to Jesus about her children as being the best thing that she could possibly do. Let's pick up the story there and read it there in verse 22. Matthew 20 and verse 22. How did Jesus answer this request? "You do not know what you ask," he said. "Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Now, do you think the cup that he was talking about here was the cup that he was going to offer full of grape juice to the disciples there in the upper room? Was that the cup he was talking about? No, it wasn't. The Bible makes it clear that this cup was a cup of self-denial. It was the cup of putting others ahead of yourself. It was a cup of making a full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, which meant persecution and suffering and difficulty. And in practical terms, reading between the lines, he was thinking of things like this as far as Salome was concerned. Are you able to endure the challenge of child rearing? Are you willing to help them through the pressures of their teen years? Are you willing to take them to Sabbath school and church regularly? Are you able to talk to them about sexual purity and Christian dating? Are you able to correct them and reprimand them and do it in love? Are you willing to take the time to listen to them, to talk to them, to understand them, and encourage them? And above all, are you able to show them from your own life how to have a personal walk with Jesus? One author I read this week put it this way: God doesn't want our children's success. He wants their sincerity. He doesn't want their talent as much as He wants their commitment. God doesn't want their possessions. He wants their passion. God doesn't want their beauty. He wants their behavior. God doesn't want their brains nearly as much as He wants their hearts. God doesn't want them for time. He wants them for eternity. Amen. God doesn't want them in hell. He wants them in heaven. Amen. So what baptism was Jesus talking about here in verse 22? Was He talking about the one that He received there on the banks of the Jordan River by John the Baptist? Was He talking about the watery baptism like Mario just experienced? Was that the kind of baptism He was talking about in verse 22? It was. He was talking about the baptism that He would experience soon, the baptism by trial, the eventual death hanging from a cross. Few of us would expect to expend the last hours of our lives hanging from a cross, would we? But we are called to die nevertheless. To die to our old self. To die to responding in anger when provoked. To using coarse language. To gossiping. To complaining. To impatience. Instead, it's our privilege as followers of the lovely Jesus to walk in resurrection power through the indwelling Spirit of God. And so Jesus says, are you able to drink this cup that I will drink? And are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with? Are you able? What a challenge to moms and dads. Now notice what happened next. Again, back in our passage, Matthew 20. You notice the first time I read that, I didn't read the very last line where it says, they said to Him, we are able. So the they would have to be referring to whom? To whom? To James and John. So all of a sudden the focus has shifted, hasn't it? It's gone from Salome to the two sons, James and John. They said, we are able. They stepped forward. So what I see here is that it's okay, it's good to be ambitious for the kingdom and for the future of our children. But the truth is, they have to make the choice for themselves. Isn't that right? Only children can fulfill these ambitious plans that moms and dads have for them. And so I want to talk to the children of ambitious mothers here in our congregation for a moment. Young people, are you able to dream the impossible dream? Amen. Are you able to think big, knowing that with God, all things are possible? Yes. Are you willing to set high standards for your social, moral, and spiritual life? Those standards are not the standards of the world. They may not even be the standards of your friends. Are you able to show respect to your parents and obey them in the Lord? Are you willing to refuse drugs and alcohol and pornography and lying and stealing. Are you willing to accept Jesus as your Savior, even though your friends may not? Amen. Do you have these ambitious desires for yourself? Because, you see, it's not good enough just for mom and dad to have them for you. You have to have them yourself. Because if you don't, you have to understand that simply showing up at church occasionally, simply by attending a Seventh-day Adventist or Christian school, that doesn't make one a Christian any more than taking a lawnmower and parking it in the garage transforms it into a BMW. Or taking a skunk and putting him under the water and soaping him up is going to change his smell. We have to be changed on the inside. We have to have a personal walk with God. We have to be able to drink from His cup, and we have to be baptized with His baptism, just as James and John were. One more passage in closing. Would you turn to Isaiah 58 with me? Isaiah 58, and let's take a look at verse 13. I was thinking about this text 2 weeks ago when Sally Stribe came to visit us. Do you remember her? Easter Sabbath and her beautiful illustrations from the sea. Let's read verse 13, shall we? If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then verse 14 says, you shall delight yourself in the Lord. We were attending a church last week, long way from here, and I was looking in the bulletin afterwards, and it was talking to the young people and the collegiates in the church, and they were all being invited over to someone's house that Sabbath afternoon. And the thing that was attractive to young people, certainly, was the fact that they were going to have a barbecue, they were going to play volleyball, they were going to have a movie, and they were going to have fun. Pretty much in that order. And it just helped me to remember this text and what Sally said. You know, as parents, one of the biggest struggles that we have is, how do we introduce our children to Jesus on the Sabbath? Because that's one of the best days that we have to do it, isn't it? It's when we actually have time with our families. And I also remember how difficult and challenging that was for us, Ivy and myself, trying to figure out how to apply the principles of Isaiah 58, 13. And I realize that everyone has to apply those principles differently, right? Every parent has to decide what's appropriate behavior on the Sabbath. But the thing that encouraged me and inspired me about what Sally had to say was she wanted us as parents, and she made this tremendous appeal as moms and dads, ambitious parents, for the future of our children and for their very best good. She said, make the Sabbath day, Sabbath afternoons particularly, a time that is memorable, a time that is something that your children will always recall as they grow up, that was a time that you spent as parents teaching them about how they could see God in nature. And then you remember she was up here pulling out all of these little samples of clams and shells and puffer fish and all of these examples from the sea so that you could see God in the sea. And I recognize that we don't have any sea around here, do we? But you know what we do have? We have wildlife and waterfalls and wildflowers. We have nature in abundance just within walking distance, some of us right in our backyards. And so, along with Sally, It's the burden of my heart that every parent, every ambitious mother and father might come to know Jesus themselves in nature, to become familiar with forest and field and stream, and to be able to introduce your children to the wonders and the beauty that God, Creator, has given to us. And in so doing, we would introduce them to that loving Creator. Mothers, fathers too, I want to challenge you today to be able to, not to be afraid, I should say, not to be afraid to be ambitious when it comes to introducing your children to Jesus Christ. That you will do everything that you can to make this worthy effort, our very best effort, to raise children to know Him. And in fact, to resolve to begin today and even this afternoon. You'll see at the bottom of the handout sheet that was in the bulletin, a place if you would like to learn, moms and dads, how to do that effectively. We're going to start a club here. It will not interfere with the Adventure Club. It will be something separate to that. It will be in conjunction with it, however, where we're going to teach, we're going to bring in teachers here in our church, people that can introduce moms and dads and kids to the beauties of nature. If you would like to be part of that, just sign your name, turn that sheet in that's in your bulletin, and we will be helping you on Sabbath afternoons to be able to go out and learn the marvels of God's creation all around us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what a privilege, what a joy it is to be parents, to be mothers, ambitious mothers, in presenting our children to Jesus. Oh Lord, it's such a responsibility, and we know that we can't do it without You. But we know that there is nothing impossible with You, and that You can take our characters and You can transform them. And then as we teach our children and as we model to them the character of Jesus, we can have a confidence, we can have a hope, we can have the assurance that as we train up our children, that they will not be lost, but they will be with us in the kingdom. Thank You, Father, for every mother who is here today. May Your special blessing rest upon them, young or old. Guide them in their responsibilities as they nurture their children and point them to You, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.